God is good. I love it. Worship, my goodness gracious. I love just getting before the presence of Jehovah and just basking in the presence of God, in His glory, in His majesty. He's amazing. It just feels good. It's just, I'm telling you, I love God because I know what He's done for me. I know where He pulled me out of. I know where He's brought me from and where I'm at today. I know how He's provided for me day in and day out, how He's brought me to life. Come on, amen. How He's healed me. Amen. I know there's a lot of junk going around, but that's okay. I'm not living my life by sight. I'm living it by faith. Hallelujah. Come on, God has wanted to do something in every one of our lives. I'm telling you, if we have our eyes on the world, I'm telling you, that's all our eyes and our mind's going to be. But when we have our eyes and our eyes fixed on what God is doing, it changes everything. Man, I tell you, this year has already been so wackadoodle. It's been nuts. That's the best way I could put it. I went into this year excited. I know God's just going to do amazing things. And then this happens. And then everybody starts getting sick. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Because God is still on His throne. It's not like all of a sudden God's like, I didn't see the flu coming. No, come on, man. God is doing it. He's doing a new thing in all of us this year. Ah, it just gets me excited. You can't tell I'm excited. I'm telling you, I love it. We're going to get rowdy today. It's okay. I'm going to preach. Y'all can sit there. I'm going to preach today. Let's go to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read this and then start into this. We're going to start with verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. And it's talking about the glory of God on him. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Come on, keep going. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Come on, that gets me excited. Amen. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Come on. And this is where we're going to land today. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Father, I love You, and I am so thankful for Your word today. I am so thankful and so honored to be able to stand here and preach Your word. God, I thank You for how You have molded me and transformed me into where I have the opportunity today to speak and preach Your word. Father, I pray that this word goes out and cultivates hearts, God. I pray it transforms. God, I pray it challenges. I pray it stomps on toes. God, I pray it challenges and changes lives, God. I pray, God, that it resonates in every ear in this place, God, that it stays with us today, God. I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I already feel a nap coming on this afternoon. It gets me excited. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. At the end of last year, I began to pray about where I needed to go with this body, with this church, into this new year, with where I need to talk, where we need to lead off into with our Wednesday nights, and where we're supposed to be at, and God just laid it on my heart so heavy, was the great transformation. the great transformation. Man, and then let me tell you something. There's a thing that's happening in America right now. It breaks my heart that there's men that wanting to be women. There's an identity problem in this world today. And women trying to be men. Amen. Come on. It's rampant. And it's getting more closer and closer to home, isn't it? So many of us, we have family that are very close. I've got very close family that are struggling in this area, that are sexually confused. There's an identity problem. There's sin problems in this world. There's an identity problem in the world. But I want to tell you today, here's what the Lord told me. You take it or leave it, like it or not, don't care. Okay? I'm just being obedient. He says there's an identity problem out there, but there's an identity crisis in the church. Because see, the reason why there's an identity problem out there is because of the crisis in the church. Because people aren't rising up and doing what God's called them to do and stepping into their calling. They're not being transformed. They're being stagnant and stale. Come on, all. And let me tell you something. I'm going to preach this. I'm going to say this. We say this and we think about, when I say the church in general. No, I mean the church in general and this church. God's called every single one of you to go from glory to glory, to be transformed, to move into the likeness of God, to work and move into your gifts. But there's some stalemates happening right now. And I want to preach a word to you today. I hope to help push you and change you, encourage you. Amen?
Amen.
God wants to do something in you this year. He wants to move in your life like never before. Ooh, I feel the anointing of God. Hallelujah. He wants to do amazing things in you and through you. But we've got to be willing to be transformed. I want to unpack this verse today. And I'm going to just take it and we're going to dissect it. We're just going to open it up and take it little by little. Because I think that's exactly what we've got to do with the Word of God, Brother North. I've told you this before. We read in general, don't we? We're reading in general right now. We're going through the whole Word of God right now. We're in Leviticus right now. And it is amazing. Okay? But it's also so important that not only are we reading the bulk of things, how the book is flowing and what God is doing, but we're also dissecting the set scriptures, man. We're understanding what is going on with this one verse. It's so important. I want to talk about this one verse, verse 18. At the very beginning, it says, those with unveiled faces. That is talking about the believer. Those who have given their lives to Christ. Who have been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You're a new creation. You're not who you used to be. When you are born again, Jesus says that we've got to be born again to go into the kingdom of God. So we've got to be born again. So those who have unveiled faces are born again, right? This is who he's talking about, right? Those who have been given their lives to God, right? Who has said yes to Jesus Christ. And every one of us, just about every one of us have got a testimony of what God has done for them in that moment when you became a new creation. I know vividly the moment I became a new creation. I've shared my testimony before. It's on a bathroom floor. It wasn't glorious. I didn't come down to a big, huge, great altar call. I didn't have a whole bunch of elders around me. I was on the bathroom floor about to try to end it all. My wrist was bloody. I'd cut it up with a razor. And I guess what? I cried out to God. I said, Jesus, I need you. My parents, I know about you, but I don't know you for myself. God came in that bathroom floor and absolutely wrecked me. I mean, I was bawling like a baby because I felt the presence. God lifted the veil off of my eyes. So I could see the glory of God. I could feel the goodness of God. I was born again. And it gets me excited about what God did for me right then and there. It what pushes me to get up and do this. Because I get so excited about it. I get ridiculous. I don't care. your opinions about me. I don't care about sweat spots. I'm going to preach what God's telling me to preach. Hallelujah. Because I know what God has done for me. And I know the goodness of God. And it drives me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know that's why you're here too. Because you're hungry. And you want God to move. Because you know what God's done for you. He's pulled you out of the miry clay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My gosh. I get excited. I'm telling you, I'm just on cloud nine because I know the enemy has been working overtime. And when he does that, you know what it does? It gets me even more amped up because I know that there's a brink of a miracle about to happen. God's about to do something. And he's doing something in here in this place. He's stirring hearts in this place. The second part is beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. This is what this was talking about. I love this. It says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. You looking at the glory of God. Ah! And that glory reflecting onto you. Woo! I love it. When it says, beholding. You know what that means? Can I have an actual Bible? Can I just have the Bible? Just give me the Bible. Thank you. Just the Bible. Beholding the glory of God. It says, beholding. It's present. It's in the future. It's right now. It's doing it. It's actually active. It's not a one-time moment. That when we give our lives to God and we're excited and we're amped up all of a sudden at that one moment and we're on this kind of spiritual high. No, it is us beholding this presence of God, the glory of God, day in and day out and discovering who he is. Hallelujah. Beholding. I'm going to borrow your Bible, brother. We're going to get in it. Beholding. Beholding. The glory of God. Beholding the glory of God. Let me tell you something. You talk about being transformed. When we open up this word, it transforms
yes,
us.
It does. Yes, it does.
But we've got to be hungry for it.
Yes.
We've got to be willing to get into it and read it and let it do a work. Let it transform us. We have to be willing and eager to actually do this. Your pastor cannot go into your living room and sit there, Miss Wallace, now it's time to read your Bible. Here's your time to read your Bible now. I'm going to read it too. No! It's not your pastor's responsibility. It's yours. Guess what? It's not your spouse's responsibility either. It's not your mama's. Or your daddy's. Come on, young people. Bradley. Amen. It ain't your mama, daddy's responsibility. You've got to do it.
Amen.
Beholding the word of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. God wants to do something and transform you.
Yes.
And this is called the Bible, everyone. This is what transforms you.
Amen.
The glory of God. The goodness of God. When I was working for Vendime Construction, I worked there in the construction industry, the construction side of things. I was working in their paint area as a paint contractor for them. And they began to shift into more industrial, into concrete, moving away from the painting and any other kind of residential stuff. They moved to more heavy industrial. So they needed to develop a safety department. And they came to me and asked me, said, we want to transition you to this. Great. I know nothing about this. If you worked with me for painting just a little while, Galen, you know that safety was not the biggest element. We did some sketchy stuff. There's stories out there. We're letting the past be the past, though. And guess what? So I knew nothing about safety. So guess what I had to do? I had to learn it. I had to get it in to get it out. So guess what I had to do? I had to do some reading. They're big old OSHA standard books. They're huge. And they're Chinese. You have to read it over and over and over and over and over and over again to get it. And then still you're kind of scratching your head. Okay? And I had to get, so I went to school for it. I got all kinds of training, all kinds of certifications to where I could train to do the OSHA testing, OSHA classes. OSHA 30 classes, and that's a 30-hour class. That's a four-day, eight-hour class. So you're sitting there in front of people, okay, men, 20, 30, however many, 8 hours, teaching them out of this book that's Chinese. I'm just being honest with you. So I had to do so much due diligence, I couldn't do it. My wife couldn't do it for me. My daddy couldn't do it for me. Guess what? I had to do it. If I was going to put out, I had to put in. Yes. If I was going to be transformed into this new position and actually do it properly and fully, guess what? I had to take and study and learn. It is absolutely no different from with us with this. God, we are to dive into this thing so that we can put this thing out. Because that's where transformation happens. And when transformation is taking place, guess what? God's working on you. And he's telling you things. Hey, maybe the phone time needs to be worked on. Hey, maybe this needs to be put down. Hey, maybe this needs to work. You need to work on this. He's transforming you. But see, what's happening in the church today, and I see it so many times, is there's not a whole lot of transforming. There's a whole lot of excuses. We love to play the blame game. Beholding the glory of God. That means for you and I to get in front of the Word of God, Brother North.
Amen.
And let this thing resonate in our lives. So we can truly be transformed and do what God's called us to do and not be stagnant. To be on fire for God. So when we get up on Monday mornings, Miss North, we're just bubbling over.
Amen.
Ready to take on our day.
Amen.
And what God has for us. To run the race that God set before us. To boldly declare who he is to people.
Yes.
Amen. That's good. I don't care. That's good stuff right there. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Being transformed. I love it. I love it. I love it when I hear a pastor preaching and he stomps on my toes. I love it. I love it. And I'm going to be honest. I love it when I'm preaching and I see somebody getting kind of offended. Because I'm like, I'm just preaching the word. Read the word. I'm just, look, because the thing is the word is, it is offensive because it changes. It challenges you. It's to move your thinking from here to there to transform you. I love it when I'm challenged when preaching. I love it when my toes are stomped on. If I need to get corrected, my goodness, I want to make sure I'm, let me see it, God. Amen. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be tested that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Are you letting him transform you? Are you letting him transform you? The glory of God. Are you letting that glory transform you? On Sundays, I've preached this a lot. I've shared this before. But are you, when you're listening to the word, are you letting it transform you? Or are you just going out that door saying, that was a sweet message? And then you go about your day nothing changes. The Word of God, James 1:22 says, but be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Don't just hear the Word of God. Don't just read the Word of God. Be doers of the Word. That's how we get transformed. Stepping out. Yeah, I know. Sometimes that can get a little nervous. You're a little nervous. You're not sure what that person's going to do. But when you step out, my gosh, it emboldens you. Gets you excited about doing it again. And again, about sharing the love of Jesus. Talking to somebody. Praying for somebody. Reaching out to the lost in this world. Amen. God wants to transform you. Always. Every day he's wanted to do something in you. There's not one moment that all of a sudden you've arrived. The moment you arrive is the moment we see Jesus face to face. And guess what? Everybody in this room is going to be seeing Jesus face to face one way or the other. Either when he comes back for his bride, or we're going to be breathing our last breath on this earth in this flesh. Hallelujah. Our heart has to be transformed. To not be complacent. Complacency is a sickness in the church. Complacency, apathy. That is not where God wants us to be. And it so easily can get there. We can start making excuses. Well, the church, this pastor, the singing, this and that. Miss North didn't sing that song long enough. Cannot believe it. I'm not even going to lie. I've seen people throw fits because of it. I've heard people tell me about pastors preaching. And I'm like, were you not listening? Really? Apparently not. His dad preaches the Word of God. 100%. Dude, when I'm sitting there with dad's preaching, I know I look like I'm on my phone some, but I'm not. I promise you, I am, but I'm typing in notes. You can look at my phone. I can show you after church. Every single message, I've got a plethora of notes because I want it to get into my spirit. I don't trust my brain sometimes. I don't get to remember things. I want it to get it. I want it in there. I want it to transform me. I remember years and years ago, Miss North, when my mama was preaching a lot. And I had a wrong attitude. And I will tell you point blank, I had a wrong attitude. It's because I was so used to tuning her out. She's my mama.
Yeah.
Okay? So when I come in here, I can just tune her out. And then I sit there and I mumble, and she's this, and she's preaching this way, and she's stupid excuses. Me being a little whiny butt, okay? I'm just being real, okay? God got a hold of me. He says, son, you better listen. You better tune in because she's preaching the Word. So I said, okay, Lord. Because I'm sitting there, Lord, change her. She needs to do. Just like we do a lot of times. I talk about that even in our marriage. Lord, change her. No, just change me. It's not changing them. Change me, God. The Lord said, you're the one who needs to change. Okay, Lord. Begin to ask God, change me. Let me hear the Word because I want to grow.
Yes.
Guess what, Miss North? I started being able to chew on what was being taught. And guess what it did? It began to change me, transform me. Our faith comes from hearing.
Yes.
Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from
hearing
and hearing through the Word of Christ. We hear the Word of God being preached. It is your responsibility.
That's
It's my responsibility to hear that word, listen to that word, grab a hold of that word, let it resonate in my spirit, chew on it, go home, open up my notes, read back, go back and look at the scriptures. I tell you all the time, go back and look at my scriptures to make sure I was on point. And if I messed up something, bless the Lord, tell me. Yeah, that's your will. And I love it. We've got to make sure we're being pliable. If I'm wrong, man, bless the Lord, I want to make sure I want to change. I want to be transformed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, that's good. Just gets me rowdy. I love it. I love it. Figure out where I'm supposed to be at in my notes. I don't know. Hallelujah. I love it. I know, right? I love it. Being transformed into His image, into that same image, into the likeness of God. Being transformed into this word. That has got to be our hearts. On Sunday mornings when we come in, God, transform me. Transform me, God. Transform me on Monday morning when I'm in the Word. Transform me, God. I want to look and smell and act and react like You, God. I want the glory of God on me when I react to situations. And we all have to react to situations. I want to reflect the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Y'all good? Are we good? Amen. Into the same image. Into His likeness. And we go from glory to glory. When we are beholding this book and worshiping our God, that's when transformation happens. That's when we begin to see movement in our lives. You want God to move and you want to go to new levels in your faith? Behold the Word of God. Because what happens when we are beholding the Word of God, it begins to transform us, Brother North. It's moving in our lives. And so here's what happens. So instead of just staying down here in a stagnant place, we begin to move a little bit. It says we go from glory to glory. So then we're here and we're listening to the Word of God and we're beholding the glory of God and we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness and we're chasing after God. Guess what happens? Then we go a little bit more. Come on, amen. And to the point where it doesn't matter. You start going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Come on, amen. Amen. It doesn't matter. When you start getting to the place where it does not matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter if you fumble around on your words. Because you're not looking to please man. You're looking to please God. You're going after the one you're beholding. And God wants to take you there. He wants to use you. He wants to use you at your job. He wants to use you in the market, everywhere. Amen. He wants to take you to new places. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You've got purpose. God's got a call on your life, Bradley. But you've got to get into the Word of God yourself. And I promise you, God's going to do some amazing things in you. Amen. Riley, the same thing. God's got amazing plans for you. Amen. But you've got to dive into the Word of God. You've got to be beholding the Word. And I promise you, God will transform you and mold you into something so amazing. And God has got so many amazing encounters for you. Yes. But you've got to chase after Him. God wants to take you from glory to glory. He wants you to experience Him on new levels. I say it so many times. that when we're reading the Word of God, we fall in love with Him.
Yes.
And then we want to read it even more. And then when we read it more, we discover more about Him. And He reveals more of the glory of God. And so we just want to go deeper. And we want to be used even greater. Because God is what is pushing you and challenging you and molding you into His likeness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's your New Life Ministries. God is calling you to step out and do what He's called you to do. We're not raising a bunch of baby Christians here. We're raising an army to go out and do what God's called you to do. I'm not about giving milk. I want to give meat. I want meat. I want the Word of God to challenge me. Hallelujah. Galen, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we getting rambunctious up in here. By the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yeah.
Come on, when we are hungry and we're seeking out His face.
Yeah.
Come on, and realizing how much God is so incredible.
Yeah.
Come on, we begin to see the liberty that God has set us in our lives. How He set us free from shame. From guilt, come on, so we can do what He's called us to do and run the race that He's called us to run. We got to get rowdy for God. Listen to me, church. There is a dying and there is a hurting world that needs Jesus. That Jesus is inside of you. You are a born-again Christian. And guess what? Since you are a born-again Christian, the Great Commission is calling you to go into all the world and share the gospel. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what should be driving you. Being transformed. Pushes you to go from glory to glory. And so many Christians are in this number. I'm going to preach. I need you to hear me. So many Christians do this number with the world. Oh, man. Yeah, they need Jesus. We're going to pray for you. And then you move on and you go about your day. You go grocery shopping. God's called us to go into the world and share the gospel. That means as a believer, we got to be obedient. Because see, when we're going from glory to glory, that obedience becomes even easier, Miss North. Getting on the platform, no matter where it's at, it's so easy, isn't it now? Because you know who God is. And you're just being obedient to what God's called you to do, both of you. God's called us to not just be on these sidelines looking from the outside in. God's called us to be out here in the world. He's called us to be the light in the world. But I see as an associate pastor, as a leader of this body, I see so many excuses. I'm just going to be so stinking real with you. I see so many excuses. You've got two things, and I love this song. Your song's called, it's, I forgot who it was about. It says, the one little phrase on it says, you make moves or make excuses. No, he says, make moves, not excuses. Make moves, not excuses. See, the thing is, when we begin to be holding the glory of God every single day, we start realizing God begins to reveal how free we really are. How much liberty from sin Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I am so far from perfect. I mess up. I react wrong sometimes. I throw fits. I'm just going to be real. My poor animals. I throw fits. And I have to say, Lord, help me, Jesus. I react wrong. I'm not perfect, Miss North. But because of the grace of God, and because I know my identity in Christ, I know that He set me free on the cross. And I know what He did for me on that bathroom floor. So when I mess up, I just get right back up. I'm sorry, God, and I'm going to run my race. And I'm going to do what God's called me to do. That's why He died on the cross for us, Miss North. Because He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're going to say some stupid things sometimes. He knows it. That's why we just get back up on our horse and run, man. Because God did it for us so we could do it. Every one of us in this room has a past. Every single one of us has some failures. Every single one of us. Jesus died on the cross so that veil of sin is removed so you can see and experience the glory of God on your life and be transformed on a daily basis. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray in just a few minutes. If you've been feeling stagnant and you've been feeling this word stir in your spirit, I want to pray for you. Because God wants to do something in you like ridiculous today. God wants to absolutely stir your waters, man. He wants to stir you up today. He wants to do something in you. You gonna let Him? Or we're gonna find excuses. God wants to use you. We have family that needs God desperately. We have coworkers that need God desperately. We have family. We have friends. We know they're all around us. My gosh, my prayer, church, my prayer is this. My drive, my passion is to see you moving in the gifts that God has given you. To be utilized, be active in doing what God has called you to do, to run the race that He set before you. We can always come up with excuses. See, and here's the thing. As a believer, God is always speaking to us. I'm almost done. He's always speaking to us. But we're not always listening. Brandon, put your phone down. I want to be with you. You're spending a little too much time on that app. I will really want to talk to you. How many times? See, God is nudging on us to spend time with Him. And the more, I'm telling you, listen, the more we grab a hold of His and behold the glory of God. That's the key, Brother North. When we're really, truly in seeking God's face, guess what happens? our ears begin to hear the voice of the Lord a little clearer. So when he nudges you, Tony, turn the TV off. I want to talk to you. Turn the TV off. Brandon, put your phone down. Brandon, put your phone down. Talk to me, God. Wait a second. Let me go a little step further. Let me delete this app that's consuming my time. Because you're so much more valuable than that. Listen, these things are the worst time consumers. And it's not just young people. It's everywhere. How much do you want God in your life? How bad do you want to go from glory to glory and have God wreck you and absolutely do amazing things in you? He wants to use you. He wants to for you to experience the most amazing things. He wants you to experience His glory, His goodness. He wants you to feel His presence in your own house. It's not about having to come to a worship service to feel the presence of God. He wants you to experience His glory right there in your room. But we've got to stop making excuses. Start making moves. Turn the dang TV off. Turn the dang phone off. Start praying in front of your kids. Let your kids see you interceding. We're talking about this. I'm so thankful for my mom. I got slapped a lot of times because I would go into her room and she would just be interceding before the Lord and I was trying to bug her. Because she didn't care. She wanted the glory of God. So in love with Him. And the more I behold the glory of God, the more I fall in love with Him. The more it drives me to do this, to stand up here and just share the word. I don't care if there's 5, I don't care if there's 20. I don't care. I love going to this little church in Grandview. When I get invited, there's like 5 of them. And there's some older folks, that's all there is, and I don't care. I love it because I just want to share and reflect the glory of God. When I go to business meetings, I stop everything. I don't care. And I say, I want to pray for our food. Because I want to reflect the glory of God everywhere I go. I don't care. Our heart has got to be, God, transform me. Transform me, God. I want to go from glory to glory. Let's stand to our feet. The great transformation starts when you're born again. And it doesn't end. But we can get stalled out because we stop beholding the glory of God. We stop picking up the Bible and picking up our phones. We stop picking up the Bible and pick up the TV remote. We do other things. We start trying to be critical about the messages on Sundays. Versus diving in and letting the Word of God wash over us. Sometimes I get up in here and I just mumble around. I don't care. Sometimes I may not make a whole lot of sense, but the Word, just take the Word of God, the scripture that I wrote, that I preached on, just open that up and let it wash over you. Amen. Our praise team, we fumble around sometimes, don't we? But it's not about any of this. It's about the King of Kings. It's about worshiping the King of Kings. We got to stop making excuses. and start making moves, beholding the glory of God. If you've been feeling stagnant in your life, God wants to do something for you today. And I want to pray for you. You be bold and say, yeah, that's me. I've been stagnant. I feel like my water, spiritually, it's not been moving. And I need God. If that's you, would you be bold and say, you can come up here, get prayed for. I don't care if you do or you don't. I want you to, but that's on you. I'm just saying, that's on you. Just being real. It's your responsibility. I'm just giving you the opportunity. God's giving you the opportunity today. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, anybody else. God wants to do something in you today. He wants to move in your life today. He wants to give you a fresh touch, a fresh anointing. He wants to transform you. You've been feeling blocked spiritually. God wants to take that block off of you. Begin to mold and shift you. Maybe it's been that you've been in the Word and you haven't really been seeing it clearly enough. And man, it's just you're not feeling like a lot of things are moving in your life. God wants to clear your vision. Hallelujah. Thank you. Riley, would you come? Would y'all sing that the last song y'all had? Would y'all sing the last song?